Hey kids, welcome to a last second edition of We Watch Stuff. I think it's 141. I am Jeremy. Jahid is on the other end as always. What's going on, man?
Nothing much, you know, home from work till Saturday. So got a respite from this worldwide drug shortage that we've been dealing with.
Oh, with the EpiPen? Is that right?
No, I'm talking about everything. Like, right. It's been an issue with, like, the raw material. It's been an issue for years, but people haven't really been paying attention to it. All these hurricanes happening in places that made drugs didn't help. It's gotten bad to the point where a lot of hospitals are, like, canceling surgeries. Wow. Like, if you're not dying, you need to go somewhere else.
See, this is where this will go into the next thing. I have no idea what you're talking about. Like, that is totally new to me. But you're saying this has been going on for a while, so it's like, oh, I really need to pay attention. Or maybe I don't.
It's one of those things where you wouldn't notice it unless somebody had a big story about it. I noticed it because that's my job. But it's like, it's been a thing for years with, like, other drugs. And it's like, people haven't been paying attention to it because, like, oh, we got replacements and stuff. But then when we had the hurricanes this past year, a lot of them hit Puerto Rico. A big percentage of almost every drug and, like, drug supplies we get comes from Puerto Rico. So you run into a thing where you can't make IVs because you don't have, you know, saline bags. And it's hilarious where it's this opioid crisis on the streets. And meanwhile, a lot of hospitals can't even get it themselves. Like, we're limited on the pain medications that we can get.
Now, is it, like, and this is not, these aren't items that we can just grow here?
No. It's the raw material is the shortage. The FDA basically said, like, the people who are making the drug said the soonest it'll get back to normal levels is, like, August of next year.
Holy shit, that's a long time.
Yes, meanwhile, people are dropping, like, flies from getting, like, fentanyl from China and Mexico. Like, street drug. Like, that was not a street drug. And now it's a street drug. People are taking that and lacing it like heroin. You know, and it's the same thing, like, you know, Prince died from fentanyl. And now my first thought was, how'd he get it? And then it's like, yeah, people getting it from the streets or people getting it from whatever. Same thing like when Michael Jackson died from propofol and people asked me, what's that? And my first thought was, why the hell did he have that? That's a surgery drug. Like, I've never heard that in somebody's house till Michael Jackson's story came out. And then my friends were asking me about that, too. So, yeah, it's funny when you hear about stuff. Like, you know, even if you watch the news, you don't necessarily know about it till they had, like, some 60-minute story about, oh, such and such lost his, you know, his trailer and everything like that, his life falling apart. And meanwhile, like, I remember in the 80s, people got called crack babies, and they had no sympathy whatsoever. It's like, get off the damn street. And now it's like, have sympathy for these poor guys in the Appalachian Mountains. Like, we forgot.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I mean, I hear about, like, we have a, is it an opiate epidemic, or is it a heroin epidemic, or opium?
It's opioid epidemic, yeah, but yeah. Heroin's under that thing. It's kind of like, basically, heroin, prescription drugs, and basically, that's the thing now, is those the two big, prescription drugs is the issue.
Yeah, I that's why I try not to deal with any of that stuff, so, not that I would abuse the stuff, but it's amazing, like, what is Adderall for? Like, what was it created for, I should say?
Attention deficit.
Okay, that's what I thought. You wouldn't believe the amount of people I know that just take that recreationally.
Meth.
Because it keeps you awake.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why do you want to stay awake? And I was like, I'm going to go out drinking. I'm going, listen, I enjoy beer. You know, I'll have a mixed drink every once in a while. I'm not taking a goddamn drug to make sure I stay awake just so I can keep doing it. That sounds like what an addict would do.
Yes.
And now you're adding in the idea of a prescription medication that you can become addicted to. I've already got my, like, other problems. I don't need a new one.
I went to school with people who took that so they could study for tests because, like, school was brutal. And, like, that's a drug. Like, law school, medical, like, if you go to professional school or, like, a hard college major, yeah, you're going to run into a lot of people that's on Adderall, and they all don't have, like, ADHD. And people take that and mix it with, like, other drugs, like party drugs, you take Adderall, you take a little speed and a Viagra, and it's like, I'm going to party all weekend and die on Monday.
I'm trying to remember if we had this stuff when I was in school. I don't think so. Ours was just, it was pot, which was, I've often thought this. I know, like, we had the Cheech and Chong movies when we were growing up, and, you know, you got, like, your biker movies, all that stuff that had, like, marijuana, and they were, like, the outcasts, and they were, like, you know, breaking society's rules. And then when I got to school, it was, like, marijuana was prevalent, but whispered, too. Like, no one was, like, hey, we got a bag, whatever. And then acid was another one. It was, like, that whole period for me, at least. And now, it's just, like, common, it's just common stuff. Like, pot, all that stuff. And I know, like, some people, like, some states have it legalized and all that stuff. There's, like, recreationally or medical. I just think in, what, 20 years? 20, oh, damn, how long ago was it? 20 years, something like that? How just, like, a societal taboo like that just changes. Because, I mean, listen to music. I mean, shit, Dr. Dre, his album was called The Chronic, for God's sake. I'm not blaming him for it, obviously, but it was like, that's right in your face. And then now, drugs are talked about ridiculous amounts, with no subtlety, mind you, but it's just an odd thing to me how quickly, seemingly quickly, that all changed. But
I mean, it's always, like, it's been ebb and flow, and normally, like, you know, always people make the joke, and there's a lot of truth to it. If it wasn't for black people, marijuana would have been legalized a long time ago. Because that was the main thing, like, when it first came out, people argue about it, like, you'll smoke this, listen to jazz, and hang out with black singers, and they'll ruin your life.
And that's why I thought, I'm being dead serious, I thought most jazz guys were heroin.
You do more than one?
Yeah, well, that's true, because that's true. Duh. I told you, man.
But that was, like, the vibe. They basically used, like, that's, you know, weed, reefer man is, like, you know, they, you smoke weed, and the next thing you know, it's heroin, and next thing you know, you're knocked up, and you're a single mom, and they, like, they use this, the boogeyman drug. And,
yeah.
And now it's kind of like, you know, John Boehner is getting in the weed business. Like, it's this thing now where I wouldn't be surprised within probably, what, two, three years, it's just legalized in America, period, because it's
who's our president?
Because it's money. Like I say, you know, greed overcomes all of quote unquote moral crap anyway. And it's like, you know, we can find a way to tax and make money off it and brag about it. Then let's go for it. Because yeah, I just laugh at that. And I'm personally, I'm like, fine. It works a lot better, has far fewer side effects than a lot of the pills that people get anyway, so I have no problem with it whatsoever. But at the same time, it's like this whole, it comes from the earth, so it's fine. I'm like, cyanide comes from the earth, too.
Well, and also, do you think that any marijuana strain right now is actually a natural strain? The way that stuff's been manipulated and changed and, you know, experimented on to make it stronger. I mean, when... this is old man talk, I suppose, but when I was in school, you had weed, and it chilled you out. Now you can get weed that will, you know, wake you up, keep you up all night, make you see stuff, do all sorts of stupid shit. That's not natural. I mean, somebody found that, spliced it in a lab, whatever. Like, so yeah, so any of that, whenever someone says that, and then if I heard someone say that, I'd immediately dismiss them and be like, you filthy fucking hippie. So, yeah, I'm one of those guys still. I don't care. Anyways, okay, so before we got into that, I think I'm going to open up a box on this one, but why does everyone hate Kanye West now?
Okay, he basically got back on Twitter and then said a bunch of knucklehead stuff. The short version was, you know, I'm a Donald Trump supporter because, you know, he's a free thinker just like me and yada, 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 without saying what's he free thinking about. Even though that's not the first time he's come out supporting Donald Trump.
Didn't
that's
he, like, just... meet him during the election?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, and that's why I was laughing. It's like, you guys, he's always been like this. Y'all just weren't paying attention. And, you know, and he just kept getting worse and worse till it got started talking about slavery, and his whole line was, short version, you know, if slavery lasted that long, it had to have been a choice.
I mean, I know I joked about it last night, and even now, I mean, it's pretty easy to make a joke about it, but it's like, when do you just, like, when someone says something that stupid, why do you get mad?
You want to know why? But here's the thing, because the knee-jerk reaction is, why should people pay attention? It's like, because people listen to him, because it could be easy for me and you, because, like, we know it's nonsense, so we don't pay attention. Remember the conversation we had all the time about the earth being flat? Like, we both know it's round, but you go on Twitter and somebody famous said it's flat, so all of a sudden people are like, well, you know, if you think about it, I'm like, no. If you think about it, you definitely know the earth is goddamn round. But people just pay attention and think you don't have to think about it because it's common sense. Not realizing it's common sense, so all of a sudden you have people making arguments about was slavery really a choice or not. And I've learned that, like, some stuff needs to be rooted out because you just let it grow. It's dangerous. Like, we learned that with Donald Trump. People did not think they kept sleeping on him. It's like, you know, he's doing all this stuff. What's the worst that can happen? What's the big deal? And now look at us. Because famous people are influential. And if somebody's famous, especially like artistic fame, like, because Kanye is great in his music, so they think, well, if he's good in that, that means he's smart. He's not smart. Like, he's smart in some things. He's ignorant in the stuff he's talking about, and he has a platform. That's dangerous. That's the issue. Like, even losing like 6 million followers, he got 24 million people on Twitter that pay attention to what he's saying. It's like, oh, well, you know, maybe he's got a point. And you can brush it off and say, well, that guy's an idiot. That guy might be a truck driver, or he might be a cop, or like a, you know, a judge or something like that. We talked about it like last week. Like, yeah, that's, you can't be reckless with your words when your words have power. You can't do that. That's just irresponsible.
Here's the other thing. Hasn't Kanye West always been kind of a doofus?
Like, yes.
That's what I'm trying to. I understand everything you said, and I agree with you. But it's like, this isn't the first time he said dumb shit, you know? Like, okay, I mean, are we still riding high off of the George Bush doesn't like black people, or was it doesn't care about black people line?
But you know, people aren't bringing that up anymore. People were using, you know what it was? It was kind of like, even when he was saying stuff, they were making excuses because they still liked his music overshadowed his words. So even though he said silly stuff like that, you wouldn't pay too much attention to it because you remember his music. And now it's like his words are overshadowing his music. But people made the joke, like, you know, he come out with an album and the album's light, people won't forget that he said this. And that's true, because he said this stupid stuff before and people forgot. People always forget, and then they wake up one day and realize, how did we get where we are? And it's like, because you didn't listen to the warning signs.
Well, also, shouldn't his, I don't know if you want to call it street cred, credibility, just period, shouldn't that have taken a giant hit when he married Kim Kardashian? I'm being dead serious on that one. Like, no one takes her seriously, right? I mean, or am I totally off the chain on this one, too?
You don't take her seriously.
Yeah.
And you make a mistake because people in our age range doesn't, that no one does. No, that is a very wrong-headed attitude to have. Yes, people take her very seriously. Why do you think she makes what she makes? Because she's pretty and got a big butt? You can find out on Instagram anywhere. It's because people pay attention to her. People listen to her. They follow what she follows. They like what she's influences things. And that's a very powerful thing in social media. Like, it's a reason why she is where she is. And like, that show came, think about where she is and think about what Paris Hilton is. I never hear about Paris Hilton anymore. Paris Hilton's still rich. She's still famous, but I haven't heard about Paris Hilton in, like, I can't remember the last time. Kim Kardashian started off as Paris Hilton's friend. Oh, that's this girl hanging around Paris Hilton. Her dad was OJ's lawyer. And look at her now. Like, it's, people say, oh, it's social media, it's, you know, reality TV. She's still around. Most of those people that were around when she was around, they long gone, either married or faded out, or this celebrity boxing or whatever, and she's still around. Like, still a thing, still noticeable. So, and it's easy to people, like, you know, oh, it's the reason he's acting like that's because he married her and her fault. And, like, it's easy to make her a punching bag. Yeah. He was like that way before he married her. Like, he's been on this track for a long-ass time. And she's trying to come out and like defend as much as she can, but it's like that should not be. She can only do so much, and it's like that shouldn't be her job. That's on him. Like his, but I can see why people like, you know, the street. There's a lot of people that like Kim Kardashian. There's a lot of people that don't like her, but people tend to think that, you know, it's such a negative, you know, aura around her. They think everyone has that. Like, no, it's the people that don't like her really don't like her. But there's plenty of people that'll drop, you know, hundreds and thousands of dollars on whatever because she likes it.
Yeah, I guess I just don't like.
It's like Roman Reigns,
which is what we're getting to next. It's funny how this was gonna work. No, it's like there's a line in a song by The Sword just came out, and it's like, just because you don't want it to be doesn't mean it isn't it something like that. Just, you know, like that. What's that line from? Is it Training Day? You know, just because you don't want it to be doesn't mean it isn't is, or something like that. And I'm like, or what was Training Day? It was like, you want it to be one way, but it isn't, or something like that.
Like The Wire. You want it to be one way, but
that's
the other.
I'm sorry. I actually thought that was Training Day. All right.
And it's The Wire. And like, yeah, that's basically the thing. You know, oh, well, she just yada, 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 because I thought so. I'm like, you can think so, but her life and her check is saying a lot different. Like, she wouldn't be where she was if she was just a nobody. And too many times we make the mistake of just brushing off stuff because we think it's inconsequential, because it's not important to us, not realizing that, you know, it's other people living beside us. And if it's important, people say that whole, oh, whatever, with how do I care? And then wake up one day, wonder why gas creeped up like 40 cents in like a month. And don't put two and two together. Like, yeah, you may not care now, but you'll care. Like, you know, if you don't care now, you'll care a lot more later.
Yeah, it's. I'm not going to get into the gas thing, but I've noticed that too. Anyways, so you brought up Roman Reigns, and you know, sometimes we cover wrestling on here, and it's kind of a slow week anyway, so it's all right. I was at a show, Carolina Rebellion Sunday, and forgot Backlash was actually on. I had Monday off. And didn't watch it either. And you told me not to bother outside the first match, but I'm like, I'm working from home today, why not? This show wasn't as bad as everyone made it out to be. I've seen people saying this is one of the worst shows ever.
It wasn't that bad. Yeah.
And it wasn't without its flaws, but then some of those flaws are just carrying over into WWE's programming now. And I was talking to Kevin before we started. That Roman Reigns match, I don't get it. Like, I don't know, and I'm being as fair about this as I can. I mean, there's no way to salvage him as a babyface right now, is there?
You couldn't tell them that. I mean, we talked about it on the show, and we made the joke, like, every time Kevin has me on for stunt grand, it's usually because Roman Reigns said or did something wrong at it, and that streak continued. No, it wasn't that that match wasn't bad. It was just the match was wrong.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's the problem. Like, they're telling – it's like somebody telling a story that's tone deaf. They're trying to tell the story like, you know, Roman and this rebel that's trying to, like, you know, get over the powers that be, that's trying to hold him down and yada, yada, yada. Like, he's Daniel Bryan. And it's coming off like he's delusional Bret Hart that was turning heel. Like, no, they put him in a position to fail. And that match ends – and they pan the crowd, and the first thing you see are people just rushing to leave.
Yeah.
That is like, yeah, you made a mistake.
That was, I mean, well, the camera work's been pretty shoddy for a while now anyways, so that doesn't surprise me. But, yeah, I saw a GIF of that, so I knew that shot was coming. I didn't realize that was immediately after the pin. Like, they went to the crowd, and they were leaving. Like, you know, you're supposed to be cheering, or, you know, be like, wow, that was great, something like that. Regardless, I mean, well, hopefully, you want a reaction. That, I think that's a better way of putting it. You want some sort of reaction instead of, hey, let's pack up and get out of here. I don't know if I necessarily blame them. I, it wasn't like this colossal atrocity that people made it out to be. It was backwards ass storytelling for what they're trying to accomplish. And now it's turning into like they're trying to turn him into John Cena a little bit. Well, these people are going to boo him, but the chicks and the kids are cheering for him. So, you know, we're going to make him Super Roman now. And it's like, no one wants to see him win, period, let alone win like that. And so I was telling Kev, I'm like, I honestly think just they don't want to, but just turn him heel. In a year, year and a half, two at the worst, people are going to cheer for him because he's the, you know, the cool heel now. And there.
They won't.
And then it's like mission accomplished, you know? But
we both know they won't. And yeah. History's told us why they won't, because he still sells merchandise. He still gets a reaction. And they had a decade of John Cena doing this exact same thing. And, like, look at John Cena. Like, they fall. Because think about how much people say, John Cena needs to turn heel. This isn't working. And people tend to, like, downplay that now. People hated John Cena. It got to a time where they really hated him. And they hated him for a long time. Like, he had to, like, start losing and, like, you know, basically take a break for people, like, you know, start respecting him and liking him. Like, he had to not be the man anymore. Yeah, like, history taught them, they like, as long as we get a reaction, it doesn't matter too much, even though we're trying to get a certain reaction, but if we don't get it, we don't care, because, you know, at least people care enough to hate him and boom, and people still buy his t-shirts. And with the way their business is, they're not necessarily wrong. It's just, the only reason it bothers people is because it would bother people less if they just feel like, okay, they don't know how to book him. But you got him on the same show as Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman, and you see how they book those two. That's what makes it wrong. It's like, it's not that people are not just mad at, like, Roman Reigns being there, because people say, you know, oh, he's the top spot. But no, it's how they do it. They make Roman Reigns look like a chump. Like, he's out there whining about, I come to work all the time. You know, I swept up the coffee grounds on the floor last week, so I should get a title shot. Like, give me my, you know, I got perfect attendance, so give me my juice box. Nobody wants, like, why would I cheer for that? Him being the whole, I'm just a common guy fighting for my common man. When you're Roman, like, when you look the way you look and you're part of Samoan wrestling family, which is basically, like, wrestling royalty. Like, no one's going to feel sorry for you. So stop. They can't book him like Daniel Bryan. Like, it doesn't. It don't work.
Yeah. How do you book an underdog that's 6'5", muscular as hell, given the main event of every show, wins a lot of the time? I think Brock Lesnar's, what, the longest time he's probably gone without, like, winning matches, whatever else? He pretty much wins all the rest of the time. So, no, you can't do that. I mean, that's what I thought was so weird about this. Like, everyone talks about Vince McMahon being a genius. I mean, I guess it doesn't take away the fact that geniuses can be stubborn.
Yeah, it's because he's been so successful. It's like, when something's wrong, he may not necessarily want to admit that it's wrong, because, like, well, I'll make it work. And there's been glimpse in time where people have cheered Roman Reigns for, like, a month or 2 months, and then they go back to booing him. The problem with this one is not only we see all this, they got Samoa Joe telling us this.
Yes. They're the bad guy.
That's the issue. Like, that's the thing, like, with Bret Hart, Steve Austin double turn, like, Bret Hart was acting like a dickhead, which helped, but Stone Cold being there and, like, just in case you weren't sure, reminding all of us, like, look at this jackass right here whining and yada, yada, yada. It's like, yeah, he's got a point. Samoa Joe comes out there and tells the truth.
Yep.
That's what he does, and people like Samoa Joe, so they're going to believe him anyway. So you got somebody that the crowd likes, basically saying everything that we've been thinking about, and they let him say that. It's kind of like they know what's – they got to watch. They got to be seeing what we're seeing. So it's just so weird that it's almost like they're doing this on purpose, even though they say they aren't. Like, they keep making Roman look bad, but say it's supposed to be toward a, you know, a long-term goal. But what they say and what we see don't match. Mm-hmm. And it's like they're doing it. It's like they're trolling us.
That's not Probably not, but I don't think that's a bad idea either. It's especially because isn't WWE stock? It was at its highest point ever a day or two ago. I think it's calmed down again.
Yeah, like, but it's business like, is good.
Oof.
Yeah, like, it's almost like it don't, and that's the biggest issue. And I'm tired of talking about Roman Reigns because I talked about him yesterday, and it seemed like, and not because it's like I'm just tired of the whole thing because it's. You keep saying the same thing over and over again. It's hard to keep talking about the same thing in different topics. They're in a position where more than likely they'll be successful regardless. They'll make money regardless. So it doesn't really matter all that much who's champ. So they don't care. Like, you think about, like, if I'm Vince McMahon, I'm old, I'm rich, I'm about to start doing this whole football thing anyway. And I know as long as the lights come on, WWE or run itself, because there's enough good people there to run stuff. Yeah, like, why should he care? Oh, they don't like Roman Reigns, so what? I like Roman Reigns, and the kids like Roman Reigns, and Roman Reigns is making us money. Yeah, I could be making more money, but I got enough money, and at least I'm not making less money. Like, it's hard to talk about how WWE doesn't know what they're doing when they're posting record profits. It's like they could easily throw that in your face, like, yeah, you know, we could be doing this, this, and this, but we could be bankrupt like Eric Bischoff and Paul Heyman was.
Like, posting record profits is one thing, but then isn't that kind of like, well, as I've come to find out for a lot of businesses, most of these businesses don't make money. They make based on stocks.
No, but not just them, not just record profits, they're making money.
Yeah.
So it's not just this, you know, it's not like they had record profits, like, but the costs are overwhelming. Like, they cut costs. They're making more and spending less.
Yeah, by getting rid of fireworks.
I mean, people complain, but
it's
it
like,
yeah.
Just that sort of stuff. Yeah.
You know, they complain and stuff like that. Like, it worked. And, you know, people are going to more house shows. People are going to more, like, more people bought the network. More people are watching it. Less people watching on TV, but like, they're making money. They're charging more for tickets and people buying them. That's why it's kind of like, I can't get on too much, because it's like, they could easily say, you know, what we're doing is working. You may think you could be doing better, but you ain't doing it. We're doing it. Like, how you gonna tell? It's kind of arrogant to tell somebody that's being successful how they could be more successful when you aren't in their same shoes and you can't do it. Like, it's not to say you can't have an opinion, but why should a person listen?
Yeah, and I wonder, nothing's been made of that football league since the announcement. We haven't heard a thing, right?
Yeah, last time we talked about this when his best friend's son stabbed him in the back, talking about he's going out with his own league a year early.
Yeah. Oof. I don't know. It's like, it's kind of a weird thing, but I can never actually imagine Vince McMahon not being associated with WWE. And with this football thing, I mean, I guess he owns both. Is there any legality to him running that other league and running / owning WWE? I don't know.
No, it's not.
Well, as long as he's not taking WWE profits, right?
I just don't know on that one. You can't own... Like, they have rules about owning, like, you know, you can't own stakes in, like, multiple teams in the same league, but you can own what you want. Like, it's because they have sports owners who own teams in different sports. So, like, you do what you want with your money, long as, like, you can't own the Yankees and the Red Sox, but if somebody want to own the Yankees and the, you know, the New York Giants, and they rich enough, can. Like, the you know, until What's-His-Face died, the old owner of the Flyers, he owned the Flyers and the Sixers. Like, we have owners that own, like, multiple teams. Like, the Sixers owners now own the New Jersey, they own part of the New Jersey Devils. Like, that's so weird. People made fun of that, talking about they're going to move the Sixers to Jersey. Like, that just seems weird. Like, so, no, it's no, I think people complain more about not necessarily, like, can he do it? It's like, does he have the time to do both? Because, like, you don't want to, he's old, and they more worry about him stretching himself too thin trying to run it. Not necessarily the owner thing, but trying to the application of doing it. And at least with WWE, like, Triple H is there, and they got enough people support system where it's like, people aren't worried too much about how WWE is. They're more worried about Vince losing his mind because the football team – like the football thing doesn't work. And at least he's taking his own money, not like necessarily WWE's money.
Yeah, that's sense. What I was getting at. Because I know he can own multiple things, but I was just wondering, because they're two separate companies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah, but Backlash was not that bad. The Roman Reigns stuff, whatever. I saw somebody posted about WWE's got their two of their best workers in matches where they're just trying to concentrate hitting each other in the dick. So I'm watching, and I saw like the climatic one. I had no idea they both traded nut shots to each other during the match too.
Yes.
And I'm sitting there going, that was exactly accurate. I mean, entirely accurate. Like, Nakamura's finally showing something that we really didn't see from after his first match with Sami Zayn. And I'm really enjoying it. And then they just start punching each other in the balls. I'm like, what's going on here? And I actually did like the finish, though. I mean, they both reared back and kicked each other in the nuts. You ain't getting up from that.
Yeah, the
was,
finish.
Who's Molina? Yadier Molina from the Cardinals? He took a, 90-mile-an-hour bouncing fastball to the junk. He's out for a month at least.
Yeah, like the finish makes sense, but imagine you paid money and saw that.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I'm like, yeah, like I get the match. And it's easy for me to say, like, the match is fine. I'm watching at home, and I'm like, I already paid my $10 source regardless. If I went to see that, and that match didn't go on last, and that's how it ended, yeah, I'd be pissed. Like, this, it reminded me of the SummerSlam match Kurt Angle and Steve Austin had where it ended a double disqualification.
Oh, yeah.
That match didn't end last either. It was like, I remember the crowd just being, they crapped all over that match. With good reason. Like, imagine you spend all this money for something that's been built up, and it ends in a cop-out. Like, and it's not, this is like the second time that match has ended in a cop-out. And it's kind of like, yeah, if I paid money to see that, I would not necessarily be happy. Especially knowing that means I got to see Roman Reigns and Samoa Joe last. And that means I know Roman Reigns is going to win. Yeah, my night would be done. I probably would have left after that match, to be perfectly honest.
The fact that it wasn't even the second to last match. Because remember, they had the Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley match in between that.
Mm-hmm. And, buffer match.
Oof.
Try to get the crowd back. It's like, yeah, that's where it wasn't like the show was. I'm mad that we're talking about this show again. It's like, it's because I'm so
we'll
no.
It's
not
it
that
second.
It's not that the show was bad. It was just the show started off great,
yeah,
and then just got worse as time went on. And then after that Nakamura Styles match, it was just like no one wanted to be there anymore. If the crowd was more into it, the show would have been better. But
yes.
They wasn't. Like, you had that match, the Carmella-Charlotte match, where it's like Carmella's just running her mouth the entire match when she's not running and being the honky-tonk man, but then beats her clean. And I was like, what? Like, I'm watching that, and I'm like, that's not that she won, but that she just beat her. And it's like, she talked trash. Like, first she played a coward the first half of the match. And then she talked trash the second half and just kept running her mouth over and over and over again. And the crowd was so quiet that you can hear every word she said. And then she just, you know, Charlotte was selling her knee. She missed the move, landed on her knee wrong, got kicked in the knee, and got pinned. And that was it. It's like, yeah, it was a whole bunch of things where the results in a vacuum made sense. But the whole scope of the show, it just was off.
Yes, and the Carmella jokes are going to be coming pretty fast now. Yeah, that one, I was like, okay. And then seeing that Asuka wasn't even on SmackDown, and you just realized, wow, she's just another chick on that roster. Like, anything special about Asuka has gotten...
Nah, I'm glad for her, because that way she don't have, you know, she's there. She's not getting touched with any of that stink.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, my God. Could you imagine if like, Carmella beating her?
I'm glad it wasn't, but just think about that, because Charlotte loses clean and Becky Lynch is on a losing streak. If I'm Naomi and Asuka, I'm like, yeah, I'll show up in 2 weeks. I don't need to be here right now to lose to Mandy Rose, put her over. Like, yeah, I'll take a vacation.
The only all right, besides that she's, you know, incredibly attractive, one of the things I like about Mandy Rose is the fact Corey Graves continually loses his mind whenever she's on. It just makes me laugh. I mean, it shouldn't, because it's kind of, you know, it's kind of like listening to a pervert talk about her, but maybe that's why it's funny, because you just don't get that very often. But anyways, that was wrestling, whatever. In between, I don't even know what day it got released. Luke Cage, the new Luke Cage trailer came out. And I figured you saw it, so I'm about to send it over to you. Nary a mention or a sighting for Iron Fist, who we know is in it. So are they... I guess he's going to be a surprise?
No, they'll probably save it for like the final trailer. Because it doesn't come out till like June, so yeah. They got time to do one more trailer if they want. This is like the first, like, because this is only like the first official trailer. Like, they had a teaser earlier. This is like the first trailer. So, yeah, I saw it. I figured you see it too, so I didn't send it. And it's just, you know, I don't know. It's kind of like I'm looking forward to seeing it. But I'm not in a necessary rush to see it. I think once it comes on, I'll be more excited. Now it's like, you know, it's not going to come till June. You kind of get the vibe like, you know, he's fighting somebody that can actually hurt him. And then how to deal with newfound fame and yada, yada, yada and all that stuff. Like, you know, you kind of get the vibe of the show, what they go for. It's like putting on a jacket.
Yeah, I did like the fact he's just walking down the street. Like almost kind of like, I guess almost like Rocky, you know. I can't be beaten. And all it took was one punch, and then everything got serious all of a sudden. There was part of me that really liked that. Because I know he's a good dude, but you know if you're not getting hurt, you know, no one can touch it, basically, you may act a little different. So it almost brought like a humanity to it that I enjoyed. Not that he didn't have that anyways, but... There's really no one new in the preview as well, besides whoever punches him, because they don't even show you who it is.
Oh, they show him later. I think his name's Bushmaster. He's a comic villain.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I've heard of Bushmaster.
Yeah. So, and then they, what's the face? Misty Knight gets to show off her robotic arm, so people can stop asking about that, you know, and then seeing what's his face? I can't think of his name. He just passed away. Reg Caffey, the actor, he was like, he's been in a lot of stuff. He was in The Wire. He was Johnny Storm's dad in that remake Fantastic Four, and he was on.
Oh, I didn't know he passed away.
Yeah, he just passed away like this year. Yeah, so seeing that be last role was kind of a thing. Like, I'm looking forward to seeing it. I know what's the face, Annabella Sciorris will be in the season. I forgot she was on Sopranos, even though I watched it. I remember her from Jungle Fever way back in the day, and it's like, wow, that was a long time ago. She aged well, because it wasn't like she was like 14 then. Like, yeah, she was already adult then, and that movie came out like 90. Yes, and it's like that movie came out almost 30 years ago, and it's like, you know, she's still around, and I know Lucy Liu directs the first episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like they got I think they have like a lot more female directors this season. They've been doing an effort to do that. Like, I'm, you know, I like the show, and I definitely enjoyed the show. Hopefully, you know, the main thing we always worry about, can they nail the 13 episode thing? Because I always feel like it's 3 to 4 episodes too long. And can they like just fix that? They can just do 10. If they just did 10, that's the perfect spot. Because like the shows that do 10 seem to like they get the stuff in and do it. Like, you try to stretch it out, it's not just 13 episodes. It's 13 episodes that's like 50-something minutes or 55 minutes long. It's like,
yes.
After a while, it's just, and you know, and they expect you to binge after a while. It's like, you know, you see the stuff over and over and over again, and time seems to drag. And it's like, it's not just that show. It's It's all of them. Like, hopefully they... One day that's fixed. I don't know if this show will be the one, but we'll see.
Yeah, because speaking of like Dragon, didn't it seem? Did you watch Supergirl this week?
I got like 3 minutes left. So basically, y'all watched it.
Okay. Didn't that seem like that should have been almost a season finale? And they just kind of copped out on you?
A lot of people have said that. And they have, and it's not like this, and the whole thing is like they got plenty of time left.
Uh-huh. So you wonder, like, 4 weeks?
Oof. At least. So you're wondering, like, where they're going with that. And it's kind of like, it was almost the reverse of The Flash dragging stuff out, even though they got like 2 weeks left, more or less. And then this one did a whole bunch of stuff, even though they got a lot more time. And I know they've said some stuff talking about, you know, they had a hiatus earlier than normal because they had to fix some stuff. And I wonder if that's related to this. Because it just seemed like, you know, you spend all this time building up these two new villains along with her, and then they're both stay together the end of last week, and they're gone in one episode.
Yeah.
That seemed kind of, like, sudden.
Yeah, I was surprised when they both got killed off. I mean, well, they didn't really give the one a whole lot. Whatever her name was.
But they gave the other one, like, multiple episodes.
Yeah, and they made a big deal out of the fact, like, you know, they're trying to save her and this and this, and all of a sudden just dead. Like, okay? Like, what just happened? And then she gets their powers, which, wait, why? And then she takes off. And I'm like, what's going on here?
I guess we got to watch and find out. Like, I'm...
Yeah.
I guess we got to watch and find out. But I don't have as much of an issue as that as... I don't know if you saw the tweet I made about Arrow, but I made a tweet, like, last week, like, trying to tell me this guy was able to fight, like, you know, a rich ninja, a super soldier, a wizard, Ra's al Ghul, and the evil DA, but some crime boss that sells weed is just running the damn city and nobody can stop him.
Yeah.
It's just funny where... if this was like season one of Arrow, it'd be fine. Like, you know, like if he worked, like this is like the first villain he faced, then yeah, it makes sense. Like, you know, it's a crime boss trying to stop crime. Like, Oliver's been, is beating people way, you know, seeing a lot more. This seemed like, that's been the problem with this whole season. It's like, it's not the character. It's just the stakes seem real low the whole season. And as much as they make him to be like dangerous, like, okay, he's dangerous in the city. So what? Like, he's just a crime dude. Like, this is normally like a 3-episode arc.
Yeah.
Like, what's like, dude, like Cuddy from The Wire, like the dude Tobias from Walking Dead, Tyrese from Walking Dead. Like, you know, he was there and he was on there for 4 episodes, and then when he was gone, and that was it. And they kept him moving, and this guy's been like, you know, he was there, vanished in the background. So you think Kate and James is the main villain, and then he pops up like, you know, I've been running all of this, and it's like, okay, I run the cops, I got a judge, I got the district attorney, and now I join the most dangerous crime family in the United States, and I got this. Okay, even if you got all this, like, you own all, like, he beats up Oliver Queen, tells him, you know, I'm gonna take you to jail and don't try to get out, and everybody's like, okay.
Yeah.
I'm like, huh? Like, what's going on? Like, and that's the only and the biggest conceit with that is kind of like, I know they try to keep the show separate besides having the crossovers, but they've done this enough times, so it's on them. Nobody can just call Barry once.
They did that for the Ra's al Ghul thing, remember?
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, I know you don't want to go to the well too often there, like, and I like the almost fourth wall joke when they got Human Target's like, you know, hopefully we don't have to meet again until like at least a year from now, like almost like, don't call me again this season. Like, don't use it. And I'm saying, like, it's too, it just seemed like the stakes just seem real low, like this guy shouldn't be doing all this damage.
Like, well, they keep telling us that this has been 5 years in the making, or however long Arrow's been on, so we're supposed to sit there and think, oh, this has been going on in the background of all this other stuff. I'm like, no, that, what?
They haven't dropped, no, you can't do, certain shows can do that, but they drop hints about that. Like, they'll give you bits and clues and everything like that. This one didn't. They just, like, they try to put all these different characters together and just mesh them into one thing and then swerve you halfway through and then try to give a backstory like, you know, he's been in the shadows the whole time and he just want to run the city and all of this stuff. And it's like, it just, That's been the issue with the seed. Like, the stakes just seem real. This guy shouldn't be giving Olive Queen all this trouble. Like, I don't care how deep. I don't care if he talks like this and he does things one at a time. And, you know I set the guy on fire because he called me a chump when I was 13. Like, yeah, you can talk all you want and be tough. Like, no. Put an arrow through his eyeball and keep it moving. Instead, it's like they just dragging it out and he can't do anything. It's like they bring back Tommy for episode for that.
Well, then like also goes back to what's the Russian guy's name?
Anatoly.
Yeah, he goes back to Anatoly and he's like, I knew you'd be an honorable man. I'm like, why? Hasn't he made it perfectly clear things aren't the same? Like, why? Now all of a sudden he's like, oh my God, this guy's a bad guy.
People have been telling him that, and it's like he doesn't listen. And the funny thing is, I'm more liking, like, it's funny where I'm on the latest episodes, I've been enjoying Diggle way more than other stuff. It's like they got him doing Argus stuff. Like last week, he's just parachuting in like some third world country, killing like 45 people, blowing up a truck. It's like, why is he wasting time wanting to be the Green Arrow? Go be Black Rambo.
Yeah.
Like, be Diggle Soldier of Fortune and have fun. Because that seemed like that was a lot more, like, Diggle came off like a bad, like, why is he wasting his time? Why is he wasting time with these clowns?
Yeah, I love the effects budget was all wasted on that one shot of him just, you know, throwing the thing down and then the car flipping over him. I'm like, all right, that's money well spent. Because it made him look like a total badass when that happened.
Yeah, like, that was a cool spot. And I was just wondering, like, you know, who is he getting? And then you see who it is. It's like, and it's two episodes left in this season. And I know Quentin Lance isn't coming back next year. And I know Stephen Amell got mad because that leak, they were trying to save it. So that's it.
I'm wondering,
I don't know. I don't know what happens. Yeah,
well,
I don't know.
You know what, with Sarah coming back?
Yeah, that's always been the whole thing. Like, that family can never stay happy.
Yeah, I mean, that's rough, man. I guess because he's been out since the beginning, and no other character, well, no, I take that back. She's kind of back.
No one has had a rougher go at it than him.
Yeah,
like, alcoholism. You had both of your daughters die at least once. You had one of them you thought died twice, you know. This guy that she was dating, like, think about it. You got a daughter and she's dating, like, you know, rich playboy of the queen family. And then you find out he's messing around with your other daughter. And then it's like, okay, you think she dies and you blame him. So then he comes back and messes with your first daughter again, causing all this stuff. Then your second daughter comes back and only she dies again. Then you find out the guy's like this vigilante you've been hunting all this time. And you lose your job, fall off the wagon, everything like that. And then you finally accept him, everything like that. And then you find out he convinced your first daughter to, like, do this whole crime fighting thing. And then she dies. And then you got some evil version of him coming out of nowhere just in your face all the time. Yeah, I would have blew my brains out.
Yeah, it's like, that's enough.
Like, season 5, like, they put him through the damn ringer. So, like, yeah, let him retire.
Yeah, and I can see how his death will spark Laurel to finally turn over a new leaf, which is a thing with all these CW shows, and it happened in The Flash this week. I don't even know her name because she's such a stupid villain. The girl from Battlestar Galactica.
Animate's her name in the show.
I always know there's something good in you. I'm like, why? You don't know her? Like, what are we doing here? And then I, like, you know, I know that the real Laurel's in there, and blah blah blah. It's like,
no, you don't.
Why do all the bad guys? Why can't they just be bad guys?
And not only that,
Dragon changes at the end. You know, you're right, Oliver. I messed up. It's like, oh my God, I'm done with these shows.
But no, the funny thing is not only is when they do it. Like, one, they don't earn it. Like, I know you just murdered somebody, Laurel, but deep down, you're my Laurel. I'm like, your Laurel never murdered anybody, so why you think it's that one? And the one time I laughed about it is when the Flash tried that with, like, Captain Cold. Like, you know, I know deep down you're a good guy. And then he turned him anyway. Like, you know, I warned you. And you didn't listen. You tried to think a pep talk was going to make a difference. I hope your dumbass learned your lesson. Like, that's why I think he was light, because he used common sense. But no, shows do that all the time. And it's not just CW shows, but it's so many of them. It just gets grading. Like, and it's and it's unearned. Like Game of Thrones did that with like Jaime Lannister, but that took like 3 seasons worth of doing that. You can't just do it after like, you know, 2 scenes. Oh, I know you murdered all these people. I know you're pretending to be such and such, but deep down, I think you're my daughter just because you look like her.
Yeah.
Like if she got a hair, if she got a haircut and she had like gray contacts, I doubt we're having this conversation.
Yeah, it's just, and it's been off for a few weeks, so we haven't been able to mention it. But no one changes in Black Lightning. You're a bad guy. You're a good guy. I mean, it was that easy. Like you had your gray areas.
The only one that changed was what's his name, Tariq, but he had a reason to, because like you know, his late, you know, he lost his spine, lost his scholarship, and like basically lost his life and felt a certain way and got manipulated. But people who changed in that show, they had an arc where it's like a natural change. It wasn't like them overnight changes. Like, you know, I'm adapting to what's around me. I'm evolving as a human being. This one is like, you know, it's a plot canon. We need you to have a redemption story because we can't keep you be the villain every season. That's not all this Laurel thing is. It's like, you know, even though she's better being the bad guys, like if she's not going to be the main bad guys, just seeing where that's the biggest thing. And because they're the only show that does that, where one of the series regulars is a villain, but it's not the main villain. So she's there all the time and they have to have a reason, because it's like locker, you can't put her in jail. Like, it just look a certain way. Like, you know, she's running around doing all this. You got plenty of people that want to kill her, at least lock her up. And, like, you got to have a reason why that's not done. And as much stuff as we talked about with Arrow, I can't wait till the season finale, because I just want to see Sarah's reaction. Like, if she ain't royally pissed, then something went way wrong, because she has every right to be pissed. Every single right. And I'm just looking forward to see how they play that.
Well, and I would also wonder how it would change Legends as well.
Oh, that she can get out her system, go back to Legends.
Yeah, it would be like that'd be yet another scarring moment for like her character, I guess. But and we'll see. Yeah. As long as they don't mess Legends up, because like Damian Dark showing he had a heart or whatever, that made sense. It's his daughter, and he was always about his family.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't be like he just changes all of a sudden. Well, why? Because there was always good in him. It was just a total.
No, Legends is almost immune to that, because one, they embrace what they are, and two, they got a cheat code where they can just move. Like if somebody works, they keep them in, and if somebody ready to leave, they can bring somebody out. Like you think about next season, you know, Amaya's not going to be there, but Constantine will. Like that's cheating. Yeah. Like okay, you know the cool people that you like from this show. How about you see him for the whole season? Bet. Like, you know, I can just bring somebody off the bench and, you know, and take somebody out. Like, the people that you don't like or the people that got to do a movie. Okay, bye. You know, I know Stein needs to do Hollywood and Jax is gone. We'll just use Wally and use him way better than the Flash was using. Like, other shows don't get to do that. And even if they try, they wouldn't be done. Like, Flash tried it the best with Dibny, but even then, it's like, I liked him, but I didn't like him on the show. Like, if that makes sense, it's almost like it was almost like too much. And him being there pushed like everybody else in the background.
Well, they're making up for it. Because,
yeah, finally. Well,
because Iris wrote a 335 page article about, I keep wanting to say Boudreau. What the hell's his name? Oh my god, my brain is so fucked up right now.
DeVoe.
Yeah, thank you. And I'm like, okay, isn't that slander? Wait, which one's written? Is that slander?
I think libel is written, slander is spoken.
So is that libel? You have no proof of anything? What are you going to say? I work with the Flash? Wait, what? You do? Well, that's interesting. I mean, that whole ending was so dumb. And, hey, we saw him over on 10th and 2nd Street. Hey, he's over on Central Avenue. Hey, I saw him doing this. And he goes, he can't hide from us. Man, what are you talking about?
Wait, can he change how he looks?
I was getting there.
I mean, I hadn't watched the episode, but I read the review about that.
I'm sorry, I forgot to ask. Sorry.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I kind of figured what happened. Like, I read the reviews for it, so. And unless like something drastic happened. I don't mind spoilers on the Flash right now, so that's fine. It's like, one, you just believe in what they said. Like, you don't think, like, you get crack calls all the time too. It's like, oh, you know, he can't hide. Yes, he can. He can change his damn face. What are you talking about? He can't hide. Yeah. We ain't talking, like, he ain't a bum. He's not John McClane from Die Hard. Like, if you can change your appearance and you can teleport, yes, you can hide if you want to. Like, that just seemed dumb. I mean, I get the idea behind, like, that's the whole thing where the story you're telling is not matching the actions.
This show and you just is so far off the rails. On this
and you're just season. Trying to shoehorn. And you're just trying to shoehorn it in. Yeah.
It's, I, outside of like, yeah, I don't know, man. It, the Iris thing was one, and there's really not a whole lot else in this. You just gotta watch the show and just like, whatever. And that was like my take on it, was whatever. Because I had honestly forgotten. I'm guessing Iris is talking about her blog. No, that was Supergirl. No, wait a minute. Yeah, she had a Flash blog to start the series, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because she wanted to. Okay, yeah, yeah. And then she went to work for whatever, and then that kind of got dropped because she was working with them so often. And now all of a sudden, her blog's back. I'm guessing. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like when they remember, like, James. Oh yeah, I forgot that you're CEO at Catco, so let's have you go back to work for this one episode. Yeah. It's like people have jobs when they. And that's why legends work. They don't have to waste their time doing that. They can just be superheroes. Yep. Everybody else got to pretend they have like a home life.
Yep.
Even though I've never seen Cisco at his apartment, except for when Gypsy pops up.
Okay.
You know.
Well, don't forget that he was there. Remember when he found out his brother died because of Barry? He was at his apartment because Barry and him were living together.
Yeah. That was such a long time ago. Exactly. It was like, they haven't been back since. Like, the only time you see him was like when they're at. They're there or at Joe's house, because I guess Joe got the biggest dinner table. But, you know, I do like the point somebody brought up, was kind of like they're asking about how to treat these people they're locking up, because that's one thing that kind of bothered me. Okay, they captured these metahumans, and that's it.
Yep.
Like, no one's asked about if that's legal, is that right? Like, how are you taking care of them? Who gave you the right to do this? Like, there's a lot of questions like that they never asked. They just accepted. Like, imagine if Batman just kept people in the Batcave.
Didn't one of them do that, actually? There was one villain that mentioned it, but then they probably got killed off.
Yeah, like, villains have mentioned it, but no one else has.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, yeah, it's jacked up. Like, imagine Batman, okay, I got Two-Face. You gonna take him to jail? No, I'm gonna keep him here in the Batcave. Alfred just gonna poke him with a stick. Want some, like, and then every third episode of Batman, you just see, like, the Penguin just, you know, handcuffed somewhere. And they'd be like, yeah, no, that's the one of the reasons why people let Batman slide is, like, he lets the cops handle, like, after he beats them up and breaks their legs, at least he lets the cops arrest them and take them to jail. He ain't doing it himself, and he ain't holding them captive, and none of the other ones do. Like, that's. And for a show that's old, like Lighthearted as a Flash, that's always been one thing. Like, who gave you the right to do that? And why should the city, like, you know, if I lived there, I would want to know that's happening. That, like, this lab that's already notorious for, like, doing all this damage and blowing up and creating all these monsters, and now the Flash is keeping all these other monsters just there, and they didn't go to no trial, they didn't have a lawyer. Like, yeah, I'd have questions.
Yeah, the Flash, I know I've been harping on it really bad this year, but there's so many problems with it that I don't. One, and this is something I probably shouldn't tell you, but Jesse Martin looks bored to death. Just watch him. He's not. I mean, remember how we were talking about how it's nice having an adult on the show? And, like, you can tell that the actors on the show. Just watch this week. It's... I mean, I don't know his thought process, obviously, but it just seems like he's going through the motions. Because, I mean, his character's been, you know, pretty much disappeared for the last few months. And they brought Cecile back out of the blue. so that Joe can be off screen planning a baby shower for her. Or, yeah, it was a baby shower. But he just looked absolutely bored with his stuff today, this week. And that sucks. So I'll be curious if you see the same thing. But yeah, so
we have been talking about this for a while anyway. Like, where's Joe been, and why haven't they been using Joe? Mm-hmm. So
I wonder if they just had to get him back in there because people would probably start to wonder why Joe disappeared all of a sudden. But the other thing with Flash that bothers me, and you've seen Starship Troopers, right?
Yes.
We talked about it. Remember that scene at the end when Doogie Howser comes out? He puts his hand on the brain bug, and he goes, "It's afraid." But then before that, he goes, he's trying to, I can't remember who said it, but he goes, he's trying to suck his, or no, he's sucking his brain out.
And like, oh, that's Michael Ironside.
Yes.
Like, for when he, like, you know, you see what happened, like, oh, he got in his head, sir.
That was
He sucked his brains out.
Yes, that was great. Which, I should say that's great, because this whole thing about the, you know, the thinker's plan, he wants to steal everyone's intelligence. I'm just like, when this turned into a 50s movie all of a sudden? Like, wait, what?
I mean,
and they said it with a straight face, just like Starship Troopers, but it didn't go over with me as well. And maybe it's just my...
You know what? It's probably because you're irritated with the show, but yeah. You think about it. Most super villain plans are dumb.
That's why I brought it up too.
Yeah, and at least with like Arrow, I give the credit. Like Diaz, he just wants to run the city. Like he just want to be, you know, I'm fine with my corner. Like at least it's like, you know, I don't want to kill the world. I want to kill the world's humans so grass can grow, or I want to, like, you know, depopulate. Like the thing about Arrow's, they've had like three or four villains with this whole Thanos thing. If we need to save the city, we got to kill off a whole bunch of people. Because that was Malcolm Merlin's thing. That was Ra's al Ghul's thing. And it was Damian Dark's thing. Like, there's this whole, we got to knock off two-thirds of the population so the rest of us can eat Cheerios when we're 50 years old. And you wouldn't think of like, so, and like, you wouldn't think about high stakes with like Arrow. And they've kind of had high stakes. Like, that show had somebody drop, you know, a nuclear weapon went off on an episode.
Yeah, which has barely been addressed since. So.
Yeah, and it's like, they've... So, yeah, supervillain plans have always seemed kind of like, they just need to have... They got to do something. You know, his plan is so dumb. His plan, like, I'm going to make everybody dumb so I can be the smartest guy. Like, you know, what y'all going to do? Y'all just going to be walking on your knuckles. And I'm just going to be there like, and what are you going to do? Okay, so you're smart and everybody's dumb. Now what? Dumb people kill smart people all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, all some dumb dude, all they gotta do is pick up a stick when you're busy being arrogant and clunk you in the head, and then what you got?
Dumb. Especially because they needed some organic material to kill the villain. So,
yeah, it's wonderful. I already know. Okay. Like, I read the review. So, like I say, sometimes these plot guns have some weird-ass bullets, and that's all I got to say about that.
I can't remember the actress's name, but whoever played the Battlestar Galactica woman.
Katie Sackhoff.
She looked like she was having a ball. She hams it up so much. It was so it was fun to watch her.
Like, it's, yeah, somebody made a joke saying, "Thank God she had the big mouth so she can chew on all this scenery without choking."
Yeah, it's like there's one part where she's like kind of serious, but then the rest is just her hamming it up, and it's like all the energy that Jesse Martin doesn't have, she's using. She's like added it to her energy. So,
you know what's funny? The villains who do that, or the characters who do that, seem to be the most memorable one, because that's the same reason why we like Damian Dark and Captain Hole, because they just play there like, I'm going to have fun with this. I'm just going to chop on scenery and have a blast. And it's like, you can't be an Arrow. I mean, no. Those shows kind of lend itself like, you can only be so serious. Like, The Flash is not, as much as they try to make it grim, it's a goofy show anyway. It's about a man running fast. He run that fast, he should never lose a fight. Have fun with it. Stop being all, you know, I'm burdened by the corruption of knowledge. Like, nah, nobody want to hear all that Shakespeare crap.
That's the thing, and that's what's always made The Flash good, is, well, first his villains, they're all goofy, but you realize, like, he can just, outside of another speedster, he can just snap him quick. So you got to come up with creative ways of doing other things with it. And the Flash has done a good point, got a job with that. But then also, the Flash has always been light. When it got dark is when it lost readers. I don't know about viewers or not, but, you know, that's the whole point. This is going to sound a little comic nerdish, all right? So just, I'll warn you now. But that's why, like, him having that goofy crimson suit, it's a very small aesthetic thing, but the whole point is he is bright. That's him. Like, Superman, he looked like an idiot. Well, he had it for a while, but Superman in, like, a black suit is stupid. Like, Superman, like, one of the criticisms of Man of Steel was the suit is so, like, lacking color. He's supposed to be bright, and he's supposed to be this symbol. And he got this dull-ass costume, and it's like, well, alright. It does matter, but if the rest of the stuff's not good, it doesn't matter. But, you know, it just, I don't know. It's because I know, like, the Flash had Arrow's writers for a while, and maybe they insisted on it being darker. They needed to make it more serious. Well, I think CW's got enough serious shows as it is, right? Because that show, The 100, which I have not watched, that looks like a hoot.
Yes. Ugh. No, CW has some, like, even Riverdale have episodes of, like, you know, serial killers and people in forced gay conversion church and all that stuff. Like, those shows are kind of Riverdale? Yes, Riverdale is batshit crazy. Like, don't let the fact fool you that because they're all 18 years old that it's like, oh, it's just some goofy 90210 stuff. It's like, no, they have gangs. I've mentioned it one time. We won't talk about the show. They have a Mexican family playing based on an Italian mob family. Like, that's what Veronica is. Her dad's like a mob boss.
Okay.
and Archie's there trying to kiss up to him, basically being like a mob enforcer.
Oh.
Yes. And they've had people get kidnapped. Like, one, you know, somebody tried to burn down a house. They had a sketchy son that did, like, you know, webcam stuff for money. Like, yeah, this CW shows, people think, oh, it's CW, everybody falls in love. It's like, that's not all they do. They're like, CW has some harsh, violent stuff going, like, the 100s like that. Those Vampire Diary shows was like that. And then you just think about how violent Arrow was. Like, you know, or Nikita used to be. Like, people let the gloss of CW hide from how violent it can be. And that's a very violent-ass... They have a lot of violent-ass shows.
And The Flash doesn't need to be one of those.
No.
You know? And I don't know. Maybe that's CW's thing now. Dark shows. You know? And even if it doesn't sit... Well, you know what? Legends isn't a dark show. I mean, it has its serious moments. That's a difference. But
Legends is fun with its dark moments. But speaking of shows that have fun with dark moments, because you hadn't watched it yet, I wanted to talk about Cobra Kai a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'll talk about I have to put it with a disclaimer where I know a lot of people love the original Karate Kid. I was not one of those people. Like,
really?
I watched it and I was like, damn, LaRusso's a dickhead. Why is he the hero? Like, he's a jerk. And only people like him, I guess because everybody else is worse, but he just came off as a prick. And the whole Miyagi stuff was just, maybe it's like the age I watched it. I didn't watch it when it first came out. I watched it when I was a little older. Like, I watched the second one when it came out, and then I watched the first one after it, if that makes sense. So, like, I never saw the third one, and I didn't see the one with Hilary Swank. And people get mad at me all
the time.
And people get mad at me all the time because I tell people, like, I like the remake a lot more than the original. I'm like, because it's more believable. Like, the remake, at least you can see that happening in the original. I'm like, this scrawny dude ain't beating nobody in Cobra Kai, and nobody would like him. Like, he should be a punk. But anyway, I knew enough about the show. Like, when they first announced this show, I'm like, I guess I give it a try. And then I heard the reviews and everybody was saying, like, oh, this show is actually good. And I'm watching it. I'm like, yeah, like it's not campy good, it's good good. Like I'm like, this show has no business being as good as it is. I got three more episodes left. It's fun, and it feels like the movie, like, you know, quick thing. Johnny, you know, Johnny Lawrence fell on hard times. Surprise, surprise. Daniel LaRusso's like this rich car dealer with, like, you know, bad kids and stuff like that. And they both got like grudges where they never got over what happened like 30 years ago. But it makes sense because you run into a lot of people that never got over stuff like that. And it's kind of like William Zabka's an awesome actor. Because he's sympathetic even though he's not trying to be. And you rooting for him even though you shouldn't. And it's like, it's almost kind of like it's his story more than Daniel, like more than Ralph Macchio's story. And, you know, him train. And then it's funny where, you know, he brings Cobra Kai back and he's training this kid that got bullied. And it's almost kind of like, you know, normally you had these things like the bad kid turns good. Mm-hmm. This one's reverse.
Okay.
Like it's a good kid.
I read the end, so I've read about it, so I know how it ends.
Yeah, like it's a good kid turning bad, and he kind of realized, like, you know, I read an article and it kind of spoiled it, and I got annoyed at first, but then I was like, I want to see how it plays out because I hadn't finished it yet. But it was kind of like he realized he messed up, but it's too late, and that just kind of fit the whole thing. Like he's trying to do the right thing. He just doesn't know how to do it, and you can see why. Things happen the way they happen. And then they do enough stuff with, like, you know, Daniel LaRusso, why he's living the way he's living. And I like how, you know, the daughter's involved and she wants to fight. His son's, you know, Johnny's son is involved, end up training with Daniel LaRusso and all this stuff. And it's kind of like they basically switch roles. And it just fits. And then with the spoiler alert for my to watch it, the season end where, you know, John Kreese comes back. I'm like, really? I want to cool. see, yeah, like, you know, after like the tournament win, because, you know, the bad guy wins the tournament. Like, from what they said, like, he beats the crap out of, like, imagine watching Bloodsport and Chung Lee wins. Well. Like a blowout. Like, you be leaving a movie there, like, you be leaving a movie there, like, what? But no, I'm hoping they have a season two of this. I cannot believe that this show was this was as good as it was. Like I have YouTube Red so I can watch it when I want. And I was just watching, like, this is nostalgia that works. And it's funny because a lot of things been bringing out old nostalgia shows, and most of the time they shouldn't have been brought back. And this one and Bill and Ted 3. Did you think it was ever going to be a part 3?
All right, to be honest, I never cared. Like, I wasn't one of those people that was, like, went nuts for Bill and Ted. I watched them, I'm like, alright. And, but knowing, like, what we know about Keanu Reeves now, it kind of makes sense that they're doing this, because he doesn't care. And he really does do whatever he wants to do now.
And it helps that they're friends, like, real life friends. Yeah. They've apparently been friends a long time. But it's kind of like, you know, it's like, oh, we're going to do it. You know, you hear all the stuff, you're going to do it, we're going to do it. Like, we've been hearing about that for like a decade. And it's like, oh, we just waiting for a script. We just waiting to do it right. And it's like, yeah, that's what everybody say. And then come to find out, that's what they were doing. Like, they got the original script writers to write this one. The director of Galaxy Quest is directing it. Like, they're not only doing it right, they're not only doing it, they want to do it like the right way. And it's like, I mean, it's true, like, Keanu does what he wants, but it's like, Keanu does what he wants. Like, I was just thinking, like, why? Like, I guess because he really wants to do it. It's the only thing that makes sense is, like, you know, why not? Like, I watched both of them. I liked them. I wasn't this whole Bill and Ted thing like that, but I enjoyed both of them. Well, I wasn't never, you know, I can't wonder if they do Bill and Ted 3. I was just more curious, like, why are they both 50? And they look like, you know, Keanu Reeves look good for his age, but he don't look 20 no more. It's like, and Alex Winter definitely doesn't look young, but it's like they're playing into that and they're doing it and they're excited about doing it, but they wanted to do, it's kind of like they wanted to do it, but they wanted to do it the right way. And that's why I think that's the difference when stuff works. Like, the people that actually care about the stuff and they put enough effort into it and they want to, like, do it, but, like, update it. It works. Like, Chris Krieg was the same way, and Cobra Kai is like that. And then you see stuff like cash grabs, like Roseanne. And then you see stuff like that's like, yeah, they that should have died.
See, I haven't you just heard doing one it. Bad thing about Roseanne.
I haven't
watched it, so.
I know
like the family's like a Trump supporter or something like that, so people are mad about that. But like quality of the show in that, I haven't heard anything bad about it, to be honest.
Yeah, it's not that. I was never
a big Roseanne fan, so.
But it's like, it's not. The issue is, no one. Why are you doing, like, why is ABC doing that? And you know why people got on ABC? It wasn't just the fact that they brought this back and they have it so toxic and they push it. Like, one episode is going to talk about them being afraid because one of their Muslim neighbors might be building a bomb. You can't play that for laughs right now. Like, it's nothing funny about that because people really think that. Like, you can't do that, oh, ha, ha. Like, this isn't, like, 85 or even 93. Like, people don't be joke. Like, people who are going to watch that show are going to watch that show because they feel a certain way about certain people. And all this is doing is reinforcing that. Fine, whatever. But not only they did that, ABC looks like cowards because Blackish was going to do an episode talk about the whole protest thing. And they were like, oh, well, we don't want to have anything divisive and yada, yada, yada. So we won't show the episode because we want to be about family entertainment. You can't take that route. And then put Roseanne on there and have her do whatever she wants. Like, because basically it's coming out saying, like, no, you don't mind a certain tone. You just want to be that tone. You don't want to piss off white people. You don't care about anybody else.
Well, this is another thing. I've never seen an episode of Blackish, so I don't even know what that show's, like, theme, whatever's about. So
it's just a regular black family. I know that's
Anthony
it.
Anderson's on there. And isn't Lawrence Fishburne on that show?
Yeah, he's on there.
Weird.
And Tracy Ellis Ross is like, she's either been nominated or won a Golden Globe for that show. Like, that show gets good ratings. It's just basically like a black family that deals with, like, family stuff.
Yeah, and like, they wanted. During the commercial for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the parents are getting divorced now or something?
They're going through some stuff. Yeah.
Jeez.
And you don't see, and that's the whole thing, is like, you don't see that on sitcoms.
Well, no, like, and the reason I bring that up is from what you said, that they were going to do a show on the protest. Because it was a family fun, and I'm like, them getting divorced and that doesn't seem like family fun to me.
It's family.
I mean, I have no problem with that, by the way. I would actually like that more than every show. You know, show a struggle. That's all right. Show some reality in your comedy. You know, that's where the best.
You know what's funny? Where if that show didn't have a laugh track and it came on like FX or something like that, it'd be fine because people are used to that on cable TV.
Oh, it's got a laugh track.
I mean, it's a network show, and it's not Modern Family. Like, yeah, it's a regular. That's the whole thing. It's a regular sitcom that doesn't feel like a regular sitcom, if that makes sense. Because they talk about family matters. They never talked about, you know, oh, they didn't have those special guest episodes. Steve Urkel almost got molested. that went out of play. Like, it's weird that was a thing in the 80s, and I didn't even think about that. Like, because I still have friends remember the Different Strokes thing where they had him riding like a horse and take his shirt off and drinking whiskey.
No, it was a bike.
And I'm like, and I'm watching this, and I'm like, I was how old, like 6 and 7? And I'm like, I watched this. And I get the idea, like, they let this be on there, and they're like, you know, if you know anybody that's going through this, call 1-800-DON'T-GET-RAPED or whatever the call, like, whatever the call was. And I'm like, yeah, the 80s. That's all I gotta say. Like, the 80s is weird. Where, you know, that one and Punky Brewster, like, don't get locked in the fridge.
Dude, how traumatizing was that?
Like, I stayed away from empty fridges for the rest of my life.
To this day. Like, if I see a refrigerator, like, if someone puts them out, now your city comes and gets them, you schedule it. But you see that stuff, you're like, the door's still on that thing. It's like, how dare you? Like, that, like, the Dudley thing, I never got. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. But that refrigerator, that was life-changing. Like, oh my God, that's terrible. Because I had no idea. My mom's like, yeah, don't, my mom actually said, don't play around with refrigerators.
Yeah, my mom said the same thing, and I didn't.
Which, yeah, nowadays, mom, that wouldn't actually happen, right?
No, because, like, they don't even make those type of fridges anymore. Where it's like a box like that. Yeah. So that's not even a thing anymore, but it was a thing then. And I watched that episode, and I'm like, I ain't messing around with no damn fridge. No. Like, it worked because That was a long time to this day. I remember that. But no, the one that stuck in me, and I just realized how jacked up it was. You remember the show Too Close for Comfort?
Sounds familiar.
It was like a sitcom. Like, it was like a dad with like two daughters, and they had like a bumbling friend, and forgot the guy's name. So anyway, it was like a 80s sitcom. So they had one where the friend was, he was at this bar with these two big girls, and they, I guess, get him drunk, take him home, and basically rape him. And they play it for jokes.
What? No.
Yeah, like, you know, they took me home, and they, I don't remember what happened. I think they put something in my drink, and then my clothes came off, and they made me do things. And they basically like, you couldn't fight back? I guess, ha, ha, ha. How it feel? We were like too big. Like, they're playing like as a joke. And I'm like, he basically got sexually assaulted. And they playing like, you know, you got a laugh track in there making fun of him because like these two big girls took advantage of him. And I'm just watching that. And I remember watching it in the 80s and not thinking too much about it. And I don't know why it stuck in my head, but then the older I got, I was like, that's jacked up.
Like, well, imagine a lot that, of that stuff. Did you ever see the Archie Bunker episode where Edith has to fight off being raped? They're playing that whole thing for laughs. And then, you know, he's saying stuff. He's like, oh, you're in the section. It's like, I'm about to die. And like, the whole crowd everyone starts laughing. And then, you know, when she finally gets away in the end, everyone starts cheering. I'm like, you motherfuckers, what are you cheering for? You're just laughing at her the whole, just 10 seconds ago. I mean, that was, it's so bizarre to watch now. And it's like, people's sensibilities, I mean, I guess not struggle with it, but still the same thing. People's sensibilities were totally different.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, that's why there's like an evolution of species. And but it's at the same time, it's like, why? Like, I'm not going to question stuff from way back then. I don't remember it that well, but it's like, why was that okay back then? Like, why was that funny? Like, no one thought, be like, hey, we're trying to get the main character's wife raped on the show. And we got to figure out how to make it funny. And no one's like, really?
Okay. I mean, I'm sure people from the 80s probably wonder, like, how was step, you know, see somebody in blackface, like, how was that ever a thing?
Yeah. I agree with you. Yeah. Yeah. Just weird. We're weird. Human beings are just weird.
Yeah. That's why I always laugh when people talk about, you know, oh, it's a PC culture, people are soft, and like, yada, yada, oh, now you care about people using bathrooms. I'm like, your dad got mad when my dad tried to use a certain water fountain. They called the cops and stick a dog on them. I don't hear nothing about people being sensitive. Like, you was that damn sensitive, you want a black person to learn how to read. Like, yeah, like, I told somebody that one day, because they were complaining about that. I'm like, you know, my parents are old enough where they had to use separate water fountains because they grew up around your generation. So, yeah, if somebody don't want to be called a faggot anymore, like, don't call them one. And don't call them soft for thinking that, you damn punk. And they did not take it the right way, because it just it irks me whenever I hear that, because it's always the person like, you know, back in my day, we was men, I'm like, back in your day, you didn't want a woman to have a damn credit card. Like, if she got a job.
I know, am I right, fellas?
Yeah, like back in your day, if you saw a woman get a job, it's like, your nuts got cut off. Like, shut up about how tough you were. Everybody swear they was John Wayne, or I was just George Patton. Like, I was part of the greatest generation, and I freed America by fighting the Japs, and da-da-da-da-da. And then you went home, and you sprayed water hoses against black people and smacked your wife around because she wanted to go grocery shopping without you. How tough were you really?
Well, that may be an overgeneralization, but I understand what you're saying.
You see all them 60s movies. It wasn't that it's the reason people fought civil rights. Yeah, like, and the whole civil rights was, I just want to be able to vote. I just want to go to school.
Oh, no, I wasn't speaking on the civil rights part.
It's like, people always think that their generation always had the hardest because, you know, like, such and such, I had to deal with this. It's always somebody felt like, I was tough. Because I'm sure it's people like, you know, somebody from World War II think they're tough because they went through World War II. It's somebody that went through, like, you know, World War I is like, oh, y'all had guns? Ain't that cute? I had to kill people with a knife. If I stepped on a tank, my foot fell off. Like, we didn't have antibiotics when I grew up. You damn pussy. Like, if you go far enough back, everybody thinks that, you know, they went through something worse. It's like, that's why it's evolution. Stop worrying about who went through it worse. Try to get better. I love time now. I don't miss that back in the day stuff, blowing in a Nintendo cartridge that costs the same amount as a PlayStation game costs now. Like, that shit wasn't fun.
No, especially, I had a game, or especially, it might have been like this for other games, but did you ever play Baseball Stars?
Yes.
The battery that came in the cartridge was trash. It would consistently come loose. You would lose all, like, you could build your own team. I honestly think that's one of the greatest baseball games ever made. You could trade, draft guys, free agents, build people up, and it was always to get to that team that has, like, a 99, because you could never get 100. I came so close. I got all my guys. My team was a 97. I mean, it was balling. Take it out, play Zelda or something, come back, put it in. Dead. Everything got reset. And back then, you know, we didn't have the internet, which is just old man speak, but I had no idea why it did that. And now they come to find out they have, like, little watch batteries? Was that what it was? Or something like that in the cartridges, and some of the cartridges that would do that. And I was like, ugh, all that time spent doing stuff. So, but
I remember having to leave my Nintendo on because, like, you had a game, you had to finish a level.
Yes.
It wasn't no battery, it wasn't no password, it wasn't no save. It's like, you turned all your stuff from the beginning, so you got to hope to leave it on me at school. Hope it don't blow up when you get home.
Or hope that someone doesn't shut it off.
Yeah, and, like, you know, I'll wrap up when I talk about God of War. I think about, like, I remember what I played in the 80s.
Oh, God, yeah.
You look at the stuff you play now, and it's like, imagine like if Leonardo da Vinci saw a space shuttle. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's gobsmackly amazing how awesome video games look and play. And people, like, I know it's stuff to complain about, but the games themselves, no, and the cost, no. Because people complain about games costing $60 now. They cost $50 in the 80s. The 80s.
Yeah.
Like, think about that. Like, the cost of Nintendo now, this is like some, like, $700. Basically, like, the equivalent, like, video games have always cost money. They cost less money now relatively to inflation than they did back when we grew up. And I hope you ingrates, like, you know, we have to worry about, like, you know, like, we have, you know, the internet and cell phones. I can watch any game I want. I know the scores like that. Back in the day, you had to read a newspaper. Like, if you lived in Philly, you never saw the Lakers. Like, how would you watch the LA Lakers unless they played your team? Like, you know, even if you had cable, you ain't staying up that long half the time, or they didn't show it on cable. And it's like, I hope I read about it in the newspaper. You had to, like, yeah, that was a thing. People bought newspapers and read about stuff. And that's how you got
the newspapers also went to press at a certain time.
Yeah,
so you wouldn't get some of the scores or whatever the real story is until the next day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you know, my internet speed, I had to get it through cables under the ground. Like, yeah. Which is coming, everybody. This whole cable stuff is going away. Whether, I'm not sure if the health risk will be, but it's all going to be 4G and all that stuff eventually. But
good. So I can finally get some good cable speed. I live in the United States of America, and I got worse speed than somebody in El Salvador.
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah. So that's still a sore-ass spot. But anyway, no, to wrap up how technology and things and how stuff evolves with technology, God of War is awesome. Like, I mean, like, really, really awesome. Where not just, you know, it's... When I say it's probably one of the best games I've ever played, that is not a like an overstatement, exaggeration. Like, that game is just one. The game is beautiful. Probably one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. Like, that's why I've been posting pictures like on Twitter and Facebook, because I'm just sitting there. I'm like, this is just amazing. Like, it plays fun. It looks gorgeous, but the story is just. And it's funny coming from that, because I remember the old God of War games, and you think about, like, Kratos was a meathead dickhead. Like, he just went around just mad and just killing everybody and just, you know, but it's like, it was the 2000s, 300 was a thing. So that was the whole toxic macho man, that was the tough guy thing. So to see him now all grown and try to grow out of it and stuff, and like dealing with his, you know, his son that's acting like a son, and seeing him interact and how tough it is, I was watching this, I was like, this has hit me. And like, if you, anybody that's had like a father-son relationship where it's like complicated, or the dad wasn't there, and like you don't know him, he don't know you, and y'all trying to like, you know, get to know each other. Like, basically the plot of the game is, you know, he left Greece, he's in the Norse country, got remarried, had a son, wife dies. Her last wish is, you know, take my ashes to the highest mountain here. And that's it. And, you know, they trying to do that together. It's like, you know, they getting to know each other, doing all that. Every time the son has asked questions like, you know, why are you able to do this? He don't want to talk about it. It's like, yeah, I used to be a god back in here, killed a lot of stuff. I don't want you to go my path, but I don't know how to talk to you because I'm a stranger and you a stranger. And it's like, it's the way they play is just so beautiful because it's just realistic. And two things popped in my head. One, this would have been an awesome Thor game. Like, and I'm just wondering, like, you know, Marvel should be making better video games than they've been making. And hopefully Spider-Man kind of, like, changes that trend. Because I'm thinking now, I'm like, this game is awesome. Why isn't this, like, you know, Batman's finally have an awesome game. Why isn't this a Thor game? Like, isn't a perfect landscape and stuff like that? I knew a lot about the game from watching Thor movies. Like, I knew about, because they had the Nine Realms and the Bifrost and all this stuff. And it's like, this makes sense. I watched Thor. And two, but watching Thor threw me off because the movie, you know, Thor's a hero. He's yada, yada, yada. Not in the game. Like, you fighting Thor's dickhead sons, and the way they make him out, be like, yeah, Thor was kind of a jerk. And you remember like a lot of hit, and it's just throwing me off because in history he is, but I'm so used to watching the movies. It's like, wait a second, why they talk about Thor like that? Like, Thor's a hero, and it's like, you know, selfish ass Thor and yada yada yada. He's got two meathead sons that's there talking trash, and it's just like, I played the game maybe like 5-6 hours in, and it's just, I actually woke up early a few days to play the game. That's how much I enjoy the game. Like, I would tell anybody that has a PlayStation 4, get that game. Like, I had got the game and I didn't play it because I was playing something else, but you see like 15 reviews and they get like a 9 out of 10, a 10 out of 10, and people saying like, you know, one of the greatest games ever. And I'm like, and then you go online and you have your friends saying that like, this game almost made me cry once or twice. I'm like, maybe I need to play this. And I'm playing it. I'm like, this, it's, we don't get, like, I remember playing Super Mario Bros., how awesome that was, and how awesome Zelda was then. Yeah, that's like comparing a candle to a nuclear bomb. Like, the technology that's involved, we way past that. And I hope people, and it's the same way we can wrap up. It's the same way we talk about, like, comic movies, because, you know, like, Infinity War is making all this money, say it might hit, it's got a chance to hit 2 billion. And as you just think about, like, both of us are old enough where we remember, like, David Hasselhoff as Nick Fury. Mm-hmm. And all that, some of that other crap that we used to got. So the fact that we have what we have now, where I sent you that link, Annette Bening is going to be in Captain Marvel. And it's like, oh, that's nice. And it's like, it's not even a thing anymore where comic books is like the rule of the roost and just running everything, and like nerds basically run the damn world. I hope people appreciate how lucky they have it now. I know they won't, because like everyone think about, you know, like you said, 15 years from now, when you can blink your eyes and have the internet, people gonna be making fun. Oh, you used to have a thing in your hand with your phone. Ha ha ha! Like it's gonna seem real trite. But it's like, yeah, I remember where you had to find a payphone, hope you had a quarter, and you memorized a phone number.
And then remember to really wrap that up. Remember, you have to have a quarter because, or if you had a dime, you were screwed. Remember, yes. Payphones used to be a dime, and payphone kids is something that. When you didn't have a cell phone, it was a portable phone that was permanently attached at a gas station or mm-hmm. really in the middle of nowhere. So
yeah, you'd be in a corner somewhere. It's like, hold up, I'm on call. I hope I memorize this number. But I only can talk for a few minutes, but I got to put another quarter in. And I got to tell them where I want to be so they can meet me there. Yep. And it's around, not at this time exactly, around that time. Because when somebody said they'll be back at 5, you believe them because you didn't have anywhere checking on them.
Yep.
You didn't have, you know... location search. Now, well, where you at? I'm out. Where? What if something bad happened to you? What you gonna call Iron Man?
Yeah.
Like
that's what happened.
Like, that's what happened now. Like, oh, well. Imagine you tell somebody like, I won't be able to talk for a while because I'm out and about. I'll see you when I get home. People look at you like, what kind of hillbilly Quaker are you? And that was normal back then. Damn, we're getting old.
Yep. And on that note, let's get out of here. Thanks for listening, everyone. Stunt Granny on social media. We watch stuff you can find for your podcasts. Yeah, there's nothing out this week. Still Avengers. So next week will be Deadpool, maybe. So we'll get at you later. Thanks for listening. And all yours.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi. And be grateful for the things you have, you damn pricks. We are out.